Times FMR
How's it? Midday it is, and this is Cape Diary, Carpe Dagbook on FMR, and I'm Mike Mills. Welcome. In the next hour, we won't be hearing about the Speed Classic, which has caused severe traffic disruption in the last couple of days because of the closure of Philip Cossana Drive in both directions. But petrol heads will be on cloud nine this weekend, with awesome vehicles taking part. But we will hear about a raucous and raunchy adult comedy from its writer and director Louis Fulyun, who and that show is arriving next month at the Baxter. David Cramer's musical Orpheus McAdoo is back at Artscape. We'll hear more about the return of this production because of public demand. Stellenbosch is about to launch wine and food street soirees. And we have an international guest with us, the Austrian-born sax player Guido Spanocchi, who has a couple of gigs this weekend. And shortly, we'll explore a new dance and drama production, Die Een Wat Blij. Sur Blij Net Naar Bay. So that you can hear about all of this. Relax right now aboard Tessa Ziegler's Slow Train. Tessa Ziegler's Slow Train here on Fine Music Radio. It's Carpe Dagbook. My first guest today is Wessel Pretorius, who's decided to pop in because he's not travelling anymore this year. Wessel, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You've been very busy this year. Just give me a little quick sketch of where you've been and what you've been doing.
Well, I've been very fortunate to travel with the production Faustus in Africa, which is the William Kentridge production, which we performed at the Baxter in the beginning of the year. But the end goal was to travel throughout Europe. So I've been to the most glorious places, and I have one more leg. I leave tomorrow,
okay,
and I go to Geneva and London for 3 weeks. Poor me. But before that, I just came back a month ago from Paris. We performed at the Théâtre de la Ville, and so I've been... And the Edinburgh Festival, so it's been quite a ride.
What's been the reaction over there?
Well, most European countries are absolutely bowled over by the show. I think they think it's absolutely marvelous because it very much carries the DNA of our country, but it's got these extraordinary puppets and William's incredible artwork. And we're just sort of part of the installation art piece. And European audiences have embraced it quite warmly, yeah.
Wonderful.
For such an obscure and difficult piece of theater, you know.
Yeah. And then back home, you've been working with a completely different production.
Yes.
The Een Wat Blij.
Yes, The Een Wat Blij, which has now sort of been translated, I would say 60-70% into English. So we also call it The One Who Stays.
Okay.
And it is a dance piece and a drama piece that we sort of workshopped together. I wrote it after several interviews with the cast. And it's sort of based on the three of us, Sean Ulf and Grant van Staer, who are the dancers and choreographers, who are part sort of creators of the Figure of Eight Dance Company. And so I did interviews with them and about what it was like growing up and in our different worlds and with the parents that we had. And there were certain issues around growing up that we wanted to address. And so I went away over the December holiday and brought this script to life. And then over the course of our rehearsals, we sort of sculpted it to become the show that it is now, with a lot of movement and dance.
So that's the interesting thing. There's a story attached here.
Absolutely.
But it's in dance. Are they spoken?
It's very much a spoken text.
It's
a drama piece that I wrote, and they have. I think the dancers wanted to challenge themselves by becoming actors for a while.
Ah.
And so I wrote it tailor-made for them, but it's very much they play parts, they have lines, they have scenes. But we wanted to use the script as a sort of platform to infuse it with as much movement and dance, to break open this idea of the conventional drama by putting it's. I mean, they did a piece similar to this one called Karatera last year and the years before. So it was sort of just evolving this idea of blending these genres and these styles of storytelling.
How interesting. Now, it's played already in various parts of the country.
Yes, we debuted at the Kokonkor, which was in April, and then they have already been to the Free State at the festival there. They did the National Arts Festival, and so this is sort of their final leg of their tour for this year.
It's coming to the Baxter.
Going to the Baxter at the Flip Side. It's a short run. It's for 5 performances only. It's from Tuesday next week, the 28th, to Friday, the 1st of November. I'm looking forward. I won't be here, sadly, because I'm traveling.
You're traveling
but,
again.
I've seen it recently, and they are doing such beautiful work. I'm so proud of them. And so I'm only sad that I won't be able to see it in that space and with that lighting rig, you know.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be quite beautiful. And now I've asked them to take as many photos and videos as they can. I'll live vicariously.
All right. So The One Who Stays, the In Wat Blay.
Yes.
Next week for a limited run,
yes.
Baxter Theatre. You book through? Web tickets.
Web tickets or Quicket? I think it's Quicket, yeah.
Limited run, so take advantage. And you've got hopefully lots of stuff planned for next year, so we'll
yes.
wish you lots of luck
Thank
with
you.
That. But maybe you want to come home and just chill for a bit.
I do. I would. I can't wait to be home be in my house for more than a month. That would be great. Sleep in my own bed.
Wessel Pretorius, thank you so much.
Thank you.
FMR 101.3 FM.
Well, the applause you just heard was because that was a live performance by my next guest, who is with us here on Karp's Dagboek, Cape Diary, Guido Spinocchi. Welcome. It's great to see you. You are the saxophonist who is working very hard in that track.
That is correct, yes. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Where was that recorded, by the way?
That was recorded in Worcester, which is in about like an hour and a half north of London.
Okay.
UK.
Oh, it's that Worcester.
Yeah.
It's not our Worcester that we have in the Western Cape. Okay.
Unfortunately. <yeah. laughs>
Listen, welcome. Obviously, you are a saxophonist. You're Austrian-born, I understand. But you live in London these days.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and you've lived there for how long?
15 years.
Wow, okay. Is that because London's just got more opportunities than in Austria?
No, I had at some point after my studies in Vienna, I moved to Paris to do a postgrad, and then eventually I ran out of money, so I decided to move to the next more expensive city, which was London. And somehow things worked out. You know, sometimes you just have to increase the pressure, it seems.
Okay, but you've got a lot of work opportunities and gigs, maybe more so in the UK than you have in Austria. Would I be right in saying
yes,
that?
Yes, yes, yes. Austria is a small country. It's known for music and culture.
Of course.
Predominantly classical music.
So yeah, we play lots of it here at FMR.
Yeah, some of the best orchestras like the Vienna Phil or the Vienna Symphonic Orchestra. But for kind of the more contemporary side of music, it's not as renowned in the world as the UK. And the UK, so the entire population of Austria is smaller than the population of London. So
wow.
This is not even the UK. So in the UK, there's a really thriving scene. You know, there's a lot of amazing jazz and contemporary music and all sorts of opportunities. So the market is much bigger. People seem to really like it. And that's why I've moved there some 15 years ago and haven't managed to get out of it yet.
Please just, for those who don't know, just give me a quick definition. What's the difference between jazz and contemporary? Because I would think jazz is contemporary because you've got living artists.
Yeah, well, I don't think, that is correct to an extent. I would agree. I would say everything is contemporary that is being performed or written by people who are alive or who have until recently been alive. So that's what I would consider contemporary. So a lot of jazz is also contemporary. Then there is also jazz, which I would say is probably not so contemporary anymore, like maybe Glenn Miller or swing from the early 20s.
Duke Ellington.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
As much as you can make it contemporary if you arrange it in a specific way. And classical music or contemporary classical music is more, I would say, written out per se, so less improvisation generally. Yeah.
Okay. So what has brought you to South Africa?
That's a beautiful story, actually, because many years ago I heard an album called African Time by the wonderful Habi Tswele. And when I heard that, you hear a lot of music as a musician. You're exposed to a lot of music all the time. And sometimes some albums just strike you and you kind of have to put everything down and listen to the album back to back a few times in a row. And this album, African Time, caught me completely off guard. And I then spent quite a significant amount of time finding out who wrote this music, where does this person live, and then eventually I realized, okay, it's Habitsoile, he lives in Cape Town. And from then on, I've been trying to get to South Africa. This was some 10 years ago.
Wow. I'm sorry it's taken you 10 years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, also work happens and life happens and these things, but I finally met Harvey a few days ago, actually, and we went to a bar in Observatory, and we had a jam, and now we're talking.
That's in Joburg.
Yeah, yeah. No, in Observatory. Here.
Oh, yeah.
Here,
okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. So we went to a bar here, and then we had a jam in the backyard there, and now we're talking of maybe hoping to develop some sort of project together.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
But you have been in the country for a while, and you've been doing workshops and stuff, I think, in Joburg. You've been some performances as well, perhaps?
Yes, yes. Well, I've played at the Untitled Basement in Johannesburg, and I've done workshops in at UKZN in Durban, at UNISA in Pretoria, and at UCT SACM here in Cape Town. And I've been doing all sorts of gigs in townships like Orange Farm and Mamelodi and Soweto, and then also some of the clubs. Yesterday we were at the Athletic Club. And I think now what's really important, because I know Luvuyo is putting on some of the gigs, is ogling at me. We're playing a show actually tonight at the Commons.
Yes, which is in at Surfers Corner in Musenberg.
Exactly.
Right.
Tickets are still available on Fixer.
Okay.
And we're playing a show tomorrow in Constantia, which is going to be a very intimate acoustic show.
Okay.
So just acoustic piano, acoustic bass and saxophone. And there are tickets available on Quicket. So you don't want to miss out. Yesterday's shows at the Athletic Club was absolutely rammed.
Oh, good.
And people loved it.
Yeah.
So these are the last two opportunities you have to hear me in Cape Town until I hopefully come back very soon.
Yeah. You can't take another 10 years. Okay. But for the people streaming us up in Gauteng, you have got a couple of gigs up there this weekend as well. I think Sunday, is it?
Yes, I'm back in Johannesburg on Sunday, and what I know by heart is that we're at the Blind Tiger on Sunday afternoon. I think it's like something like 1 o'clock, and then there's a book launch later at 4 o'clock somewhere in CBD, but I don't exactly know where.
All right.
That's, yeah.
Okay. All right, so the two gigs here in Cape Town this evening, Surfers Corner, be at the Commons in Musenberg. And then tomorrow evening, you're in. This is a Constantia soiree, Continental Conversations, I think it's called.
Transatlantic Jazz Exchange, I think it's
called. Ooh, okay. All right, and you can book for that through Quicket.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, and you look out for the name of Guido Spanocchi, who has been my special guest. Don't take 10 years about coming back again, but I wish you lots of luck with these gigs. Thank you for coming to South Africa. I hope you've had a great time.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we can entice you to return.
Yes, I can't wait.
It's Fine Music Radio. I'm Mike Mills, and this is Cape Diary. And I'd like now to welcome Elmarie Rabi, who is the Wine Roots Manager in Stellenbosch, talking about something rather special. Elmarie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. And hello from sunny Stellenbosch.
Ah, yes, it is a lovely sunny day today. And I bet you're making the most of it, which is a good reason. I'm hoping the weather will sort of hold for these events that you've got coming up, the first of which I think starts next week, October the 29th, am I right?
That is correct, yes. We are doing these outdoor pop-up little wine festivals called the Street Soiree, and we're kicking off next week. And I've already put my order in. I think the weather is going to be perfect.
Okay, I hope you're right, of course. It's the Western Cape, after all. Now, these soirees are running through till March the 25th next year. So how does it all work?
Yeah, so we are doing this every second Wednesday. We're kicking off on the 29th. And it's a little pop-up wine festival. We close a street here in Stellenbosch called Drosday Street. It's under the ancient oaks in front of one of the old houses, the museum houses of Stellenbosch. Close the street, push in about 30 wine producers that offer tastings for 2 hours from 6 till 8. Every second Wednesday.
Okay. Now, of course, Steli's has this long tradition of very good food, but especially wine. So you've got some of the best wineries turning up, some very good chefs providing some eats, I take it. And you say it's lasting for 2 hours. So what can people expect if they turn up?
So for 2 hours, as I said, we close the street. So it's a really nice, vibrant atmosphere. We've got some music going. People, for the most part of it, seems happy, which obviously contributes to the atmosphere. We've got some amazing wine brands, some new discoveries, and also some of the well-known brands, like Simon Sich, for example, comes and pours bubbly. Kleine Zalza does that. But then there's also an opportunity to explore some of the lesser-known properties and learn more about our amazing wines.
Lovely. And you've got nice seating and stuff like that for those who want to just sit down and soak up the atmosphere. And obviously there are foods around.
Absolutely. So we focus on a lot of sort of community food because we also want to extend an invitation for people to explore more of Stellenbosch. So come here for pre-dinner drinks. As you say, take a load off, have a glass of wine, sit around the street, enjoy the atmosphere, and then wander down Dorp Street or one of these other streets around here and have a great meal at one of the restaurants. There's so many amazing restaurants here.
So I noticed that these events are taking place between 6 and 8 p.m. Of course, we've got lovely late light in this part of the world over that time. So you can linger and do exactly what you've said. If you buy a ticket, what do you get for that exactly?
Okay, so tickets are 250 rand, and for that you get a glass that you can take home with you, and then also we offer 10 tastings included in that. We have just sort of a behind the scenes information. We've got quite an innovative approach where we actually give money back to the farms for pouring. So it's economic opportunities all round.
Okay.
But there are two different tokens. The pink one will give you access to a nice lifestyle brand, or the two purple ones gives you access to something really special. So you look at the super premium wines that's available for tasting as well. So it's not just sort of everyday run-of-the-mill stuff. You also have opportunities to taste really special wines.
Okay. So they start, as you mentioned, the 29th of October, running on occasions through to March next year on, did you say, Wednesdays?
Correct. That's on Wednesdays. Every second Wednesday, we take a little bit of a break over December. But there's four running this year on Wednesdays, and then we're doing six early next year through January, February, and March.
How do you book your ticket?
You can go to plankton.mobi. That's plankton.mobi. Look for Street Soirees. It's going to be all over the place there. And yeah, grab your ticket for your date. It tends to sell out quite quickly, so it's a very popular event. So yeah, go there
as soon as possible. Yes, and in other words,
run.
Don't hang about. Okay, get your ticket soon.
No.
All right, Elmarie Rabie, it's been a delight to talk to you. Thank you so much. So that's for Stellenbosch's upcoming open-air wine and food street soiree. Seriously, not to be missed. Ah, there's only one track that I could play you after talking to Elmarie Rabie about those upcoming food and wine street soirees in Steli's. That, of course, was The Days of Wine and Roses by Henry Mancini, taken from the movie of the same name. Now, I'm joined now by Louis Fulhuyn. That's probably a fairly familiar name to you. Louis, thanks for joining us. Good
thanks
to see you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Okay. What we're going to talk about today is produced play number 24, 25?
Yes, it's around there. I'm not exactly sure of the count, but yeah, it's around 24, 25.
Congratulations.
I think if it was 25, I would know, because I would shout it from the rooftops.
Well, you're pretty close anyway. But, yeah, it is number 24.
Yeah, so I think it's 24.
Okay. We're talking about The Vulgarians. Mm. New show.
Yeah.
Right. This is a comedy, but it's it's raucous, it's raunchy, and it takes the audience on a roller coaster. What are you taking people through?
Well, I think we're taking them through a variety of genres and using the archetypes and the tropes from those genres to tell this story. But it takes the form of sort of a sophisticated sex comedy first.
Okay.
About a husband and a wife, and there's been sort of an idea of infidelity, not the actual act, but the thought of infidelity has entered their relationship, and then they spend a night trying to fix their relationship and get to the root of the problem. And when we find out what that infidelity sort of entails, it changes the whole story, and it becomes a bit more, I like to call it an unsophisticated sex comedy.
Right.
So it becomes a little bit more naughty. I mean, a lot more naughty. I'm not going to lie here. Like, it gets pretty crass and rough, but we keep it light and funny. And then through using that, you use it sort of as a smokescreen so you can really explore a relationship. You throw the audience, you know, you throw them all these little things and very heightened dialogue and creative swearing and mad ideas, but so that you can almost like sneak in this adult drama. Okay. Into the story.
Okay, so beneath the comedy, there really is a drama going on as well.
Yeah, because I think you have to root it in something real, and if your core idea is something real, then you can add all sort of absurd layers on top of it. You know, you can make it whatever you want. I mean, I think that's the great thing with genre work, is you take the framework and the tropes of a genre, and then you can smuggle in ideas, like real ideas, and it's sort of hidden behind the shield of people know what they're going to expect going into a genre thing. So if you have them by the hook there, then you can really start to play with the audience and be unexpected.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is an adult sex comedy, sort of.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those runabout French farces.
No, it's not a farce. No, I mean, number one, it's too small to be a farce. Like, we have two actors. We're on the Masamba stage, which is a small stage. It's an incredibly intimate space.
This is at the Baxter.
That's right.
Okay.
And you just can't. I mean, just the idea of people running in, I'm just so afraid that they'll fall into the audience. So it's not that, but using very fast dialogue, you almost get the idea, you know, you don't need those things then, because the action then becomes the interaction between the two actors.
Now, the two actors, tell me about your cast, Lou.
Yeah, Emily Child and Nicholas Pauling. I've known them for years. I've worked with them on numerous things. We're friends. We're old friends. So we have a shorthand. And I'm just incredibly lucky that I happen to be friends with, I think, two of the most remarkable actors that have ever been, that have ever worked in South Africa. And Nick, a few years ago, moved to Canada to work over there, and his family's over there. And but we've been talking, and then at some point he said, "Well, listen, I'll come down if there's a reason for me to come down." Uh-huh. So I said, "Well, if I write you a play, will you able to come down?" He said, "Absolutely, I'm there." And then I spoke to Emily, and I said, "If I write a play for Nick, is it okay if I write a play for you?" and then we can all be, because we haven't worked together all in a play since The Hucksters, which is 6-7 years ago.
Okay,
and they just said yes, and I gave them the script, and they accepted it without any objections. I don't know why, but but they're in now, and it's really fun.
Okay. You talk about, if I write a play for you, will you come, sort of thing. That suggests to me that sometimes you almost have to have a deadline, that someone says, yes, okay, I can come, and I'm available in these days. Can you have a play ready?
Yeah. So,
do you write like that?
Yeah, well, So I secure a slot, and most times I secure a slot with an idea or like half a script already.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I just have a slot because I know that I have to work. So I have a slot, and that forces me into that thing. But also how I work, because it's completely independent. So when you approach people to be in the play, and to work on the play, it's an equal share at the end. So everyone shares everything. There's no upfront payment. It's what you make at the door.
At the door.
Yeah, and that kind of forces us to have a product that's slick and professional, and we work incredibly hard to market it and to make sure it's a real play. You know, even if it's independent, you don't want it to look, for lack of a better word, half-assed.
Yes.
You know, you want it to be slick and professional, and even more so than other shows.
And it'll attract an audience.
Yes, absolutely. And so that they feel that that their time is worthy in this little intimate space. And you give them great actors with hopefully great dialogue. And let it fly.
Okay. So the great thing about being independent, which you are as a producer and writer, is that you have full control of your material.
Yeah.
And who you hire and who you fire and so on. On the other hand, you are taking a massive risk because it depends who turns up at the door to pay.
Absolutely. If you don't make anything on a show, then you've spent 5 weeks doing absolutely nothing. You know, you can write the best play in the world. If nobody sees it, you haven't written it. So you have to work hard to have the word be out there, but also not fool people into thinking that this is some little folly that they can come to. You know, it's not like to not compromise other work, but still make it accessible to an audience.
Well, may I say, you've obviously got a reputation. So if we say, please, dear audience, book to see The Vulgarians at the Baxter, when is it running from?
From the 4th until the 22nd of November.
Okay.
And you can book through web tickets.
Okay.
Or go to thevulgarians.co.za. All the info is there as well.
All right. Louis, thank you so much. And we're going to see you next year, I suspect, because you may have secured a slot here at Artscape at one of the venues.
I may have. Unless like a war breaks out, and then
don't want to jinx it. No. And we won't reveal anything.
No.
But there may be something in the pipeline. Yes. Another thing from Louis Filion.
A new thing. Yeah.
All right, Louis, break a leg, and best to your cast. Thank you for joining us on FMR.
Thank you so much.
My brookie, my bra, in the days of District 6 with Jody Adams and Luke Mann. So that, of course, is the music of David Kramer. And his musical Orpheus McAdoo is back at Artscape this month, running through until the 2nd of November. Conroy Scott is in the lead role, I understand. And the story follows McAdoo and his wife, Matty, as they navigate love, ambition, cultural collision, and the pressure of being black performers in the colonial era South Africa. So this is all based on real history, and it's proved to be very popular, which is why it is back at the opera in Artscape, and it's presented in association with Cape Town Opera. Now, we were expecting a guest to talk more about this incredible production, but sadly that guest hasn't turned up as yet. So I merely mentioned that Orpheus McAdoo has already started its run and will be at Artscape until the 2nd of November. In the interim, here's Candice Angeline, together with a guy who is no stranger to South African stages, Joseph Clark, and the song They're Shining For You. I feel good. That's the Soweto String Ensemble. Those kids are absolutely fantastic. The Buscade Soweto String Ensemble. I feel good. And before that, we had Joseph Clark and Candice Angeline. And that was with They're Shining For You by Mark Cheyenne, or Mark Shane, I should say, and Candice Angeline. Right, this has been Kaap se Dagboek, Cape Diary. I'm Mike Mills. Thanks to my guests for entertaining us, to Jordan for managing the controls and keeping this little ship afloat and on schedule. For future reference, if you think you have an event, a theatrical production, a musical occasion, or something that fits with the much-touted Cape lifestyle that you think our FMR listeners would be interested in, please create a press release with all the info and contact details and email diary@fmr.co.za for the attention of Lynette de Kock, our hard-working producer, and if she thinks it's as interesting as you do, then she'll get in touch. Graham McCulloch will be here soon with 2 hours of excellent classics from Matinee from 2 o'clock. But do stay close to FMR as Hadley Titus is up next with your midday weekday dose of lunchtime jazz in the mood.